25, United States versus Stewart. Morning, Mr. Shannon.
Good morning, Your Honor. Stephen Shannon on behalf of Alfonso Stewart. If it pleases the court. Although I believe the context of the disparity between crack and powder is changing, especially since this defendant was sentenced and since this case has been briefed, if it pleases the court, I will stand on the filings as they are.
That's fine.
Thank you.
I think that's enough to preserve your client's position.
Thank you.
May it please the court.
10 minutes for rebuttal. I'm in a state of shock. Wonderful. Yes.
May it please the court.
Hello, Ms. Brown.
I am Tara Brown, and I'm here representing the United States, the appellee. The government respectfully requests that this court affirm the defendant's conviction and sentence and would rest on the government's brief unless the court has any questions for the government this morning.
I do. You know, the Sentencing Commission has largely debunked the original reasons for treating crack and powder cocaine so differently under the guidelines. Yet there's still a large disparity when we look at the statutory minimums and maximums. How do we measure the disparity against the remaining reasons to treat the two forms of cocaine differently?
Your Honor, this court consistently has rejected equal protection challenges to the disparity for the sentences between crack and powder cocaine provided by both the statute and the sentencing guidelines over time, as the Sentencing Commission has commented and other bodies have commented on the reasons for the disparity and why those reasons that were originally articulated no longer exist.
But has our circuit addressed the equal protection argument presented after Kimbrough?
Kimbrough, I believe, Your Honor, is the last case that was decided by this court. There was a case by this circuit in 2007, United States versus Trice, in which the Seventh Circuit noted this circuit court and other circuit courts repeatedly rejecting equal protection challenges to the crack powder cocaine sentencing disparity.
Let me ask you this hypothetical. Suppose there were a sentencing regime under which you got a sentence of 60 months if you blew a 0.1 on a breathalyzer as a result of drinking beer, and the sentence were 120 months if you blew a 0.1 on a breathalyzer because you had a margarita. Would that be a rational? Could one sustain that against even a rational basis equal protection challenge?
If you compare it to how Congress came up with the disparity in crack powder.
What about mine? Beer, it's the same result on the breathalyzer. It's 0.1, which is over the legal limit in most states at this point, certainly in Illinois. But Congress has distinguished between the substances you ingested to create that 0.1. And so they're going to have a lighter sentence if it's beer and a stiffer sentence if it's tequila. A margarita or whatever. You can pick your substance. Surely you can't say that that would be a rational system. The risk is the 0.1. It's not how you got there.
There may be other factors related to one's consumption of beer and tequila and people's behavior under those substances that could make a rational basis. Based on your hypothetical as you present it, however, there may not be a rational basis. If the point is that you get to a 0.1 and how you get there is irrelevant, then there may not be a rational basis for that disparity.
So then the question, of course, is Congress originally thinks that crack is much more addictive than powder and has all these reasons that it gives in the mid-80s, and as Judge Rover points out, most of them have been debunked. So aren't we sort of pretty close to my hypothetical?
Well, Your Honor, the issue is whether or not there was a discriminatory purpose at the time, looking at Congress's decision at the time,
so
having all of those things debunked at this time.
So if Congress actually thinks, let's say, that, I don't know, just something that turns out to be scientifically completely wrong, you know, Congress thinks that, that epilepsy is a behavioral disorder as opposed to a physical disorder, we just have to say, well, they rationally thought that back in the 1900s, and thus we're stuck with it?
Well, Your Honor, I think then we get to the point that Mr. Shannon makes in his brief and the government's response to that. In order to show a discriminatory purpose, the defendant has to show that Congress has essentially selected or reaffirmed, perhaps by inaction, a particular course of action, at least in part, not merely in spite of its adverse effects on an identifiable group.
Don't you remember all those riots in the prisons around 1995 when Congress decided to continue the disparity?
I do not personally recall those.
That's the year you were born.
I was born and was still in college, but I do understand that we are at that point now where the administration and the department, and Mr. Shannon has pointed out that we are at that point in the jurisprudence and the development of the case law regarding the disparity.
Well, you know, all this debunking talk, the 100-to-1 ratio, obviously, bad PR. Crack is the inner city drug, and powder cocaine is the white drug of choice in the suburbs. So you can't justify that. But anyone that suggests that crack is just the same as powder cocaine, I think, is wrong. Isn't the evidence pretty clear that crack is more addicting? That you get a high right away from it, and it's so dirt cheap compared to powder cocaine.
Well, Your Honor.
And it's devastated a lot of the inner cities of America, hasn't it?
Your Honor,
So maybe the answer is to raise the penalties for powder cocaine so that they're the same.
Your Honor,
lower the crack penalties.
Well, I can't speak to your specific points because nothing like that is in the records. In the record for this case, what I can point to is that Mr. Stewart did plead guilty to having distributed crack cocaine in an area of the city that is plagued by violence, and that the distribution of those drugs certainly affected people in that immediate community. And I understand that the larger issues that Your Honor raised are certainly being discussed both as a matter of policy by the department, by the administration, and by others, and certainly by this court.
If you want to read something interesting, read Freakonomics and the analysis of comparing crack cocaine to nylon stockings. DuPont came out with nylon stockings used to be, they were silk stockings. They were very expensive. Few people could afford. DuPont goes and creates nylon stockings. Pretty soon everybody's wearing nylon stockings because they're cheaper. And that's what happened when they invented cocaine. You know, wow, we can take a little bit of this powder, we can make this dynamic stuff that's a lot cheaper, and pretty soon we have a lot of problems that we see if we watch the Wire on HBO or something like that. It's an interesting argument, but anyway.
If Your Honors have no further questions, the government respectfully requests that this court affirm the defendant's conviction and sentence.
Thank you
very much.
10 minutes of rebuttal, Judge Rovner said.
Your Honor, I have nothing further to add.
Well,
if you have questions, I'd be happy to address them. Thank you, Your Honor.
9 minutes. Mr. Shannon, you were court appointed.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And you also have the thanks of the court for the work that you have done pro bono. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you as well.